thank you for those of you who shared, especially with the passing of David. It's good to hear stories about his life and how that he glorified Jesus in many ways. Did you see the title of the message in the sermon this morning, in the bulletin this morning? Three words. Why this waste? Think with me about things that are wasted. Can you remember a time when you saw something go down the drain? Whether literally or something really valuable that got spilled or broken, irreparable. Maybe something sentimental value that got smashed. Something very valuable financially that was just thrown away and wasted, never to be benefited from again. I'm not sure what comes to your mind. There's the second question is then, what's the reaction of people when that happens, right? When something gets smashed or wasted. Depends on the people, I suppose. I remember Tyndale over there in Africa. He's been having an opportunity to do an internship with a guy with a motorcycle shop, and he repairs tires, repairs flats, changes oil in motorcycles. One time, he was changing the oil, took the new oil, put it in, and there it is, running on the ground. Forgot the. Okay, there was a bucket. Thank you. All right, so but it was lost. It was mixed there with the old oil. Couldn't use it again. It's brand new oil, just wasted. Thankfully, the guy he was working for is a good-natured guy. He laughed. We made jokes about Tyndale trying to wash the engines from the inside. But that was only, a couple dollars that was wasted. Think about things that are more valuable. They might not receive such laughs when something gets smashed or broken, poured out, never to be seen again. That's one thing we have in this story today we're going to look at. If you see the reference in your bulletin, it's Mark 14. If you'd like to turn there, you're welcome to, or just listen. What I'm going to do this morning, it's a story. How many of you children like stories? I'm going to tell it like a story. I'm going to tell it like a story, and I'm going to tell it more than once. I'm going to tell this story to you the first time and ask you some questions. The more I think about this story, the more questions I have. And I don't come with a lot of answers this morning. I'll ask you some questions. I'll tell it to you again. I'll ask some more questions. We'll try to unpack what are the different things that people said in this story and how might that apply to our lives. And then at the end, we'll tell it one more time. Okay? Let me try to find it here in my notes. So this story takes place just a few days before the Passover of the Jews. It happened in the spring of every year. And Jesus was going from Galilee to Jerusalem. He was already at Jerusalem, in that area around Jerusalem, getting ready for the Passover, just 2 days away. And he had been telling his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem and they would arrest him and they would condemn him to death and crucify him, and after 3 days he would rise again. And as part of that story, the chief priests and the scribes, they hated Jesus. They didn't like him. He was He was competition for their religious system. They were looking for a way to arrest him, to trick him somehow and arrest him, condemn him to death. They were trying to figure out how they could do this politically, how they could do it, just how it would work to do it. But they agreed at that point, 2 days before the Passover, they said, let's not do it during the Passover feast because people love Jesus and they might riot if we try to do something like this. Let's wait till after the Passover. Most people will leave Jerusalem and then we can try to pull this one off. Well, Jesus, at this point, he was in Bethany at the house of a man called Simon the leper. Jesus was there. The account in Matthew says they were eating a meal. And a woman came in. You know what she had in her hand? She was carrying an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. An alabaster jar is a jar carved out of a soft rock called alabaster. So it was a beautiful, like a vase, and it was sealed. And it had in it pure nard. What is pure nard? Nard, anybody know where nard grows? Spikenard? Anybody know? India. Not just anywhere in India. It has to be high. It grows above 10,000 feet elevation in the mountains, in the Himalayan mountains of India. So it was very expensive. It was far away from Jerusalem, but it was very precious. It was like an essential oil that they would get from this plant that was similar to the, it's from the honeysuckle family, they say. But they get the oil from the roots of this plant, squeeze it, and it has a very pungent odor, a very sweet odor. And it was used in different ceremonies. It was quite expensive and precious oil. Anyway, she had this in her jar. She came in, she broke the jar open, and she started to pour it on Jesus' head. And she poured it out, all of it, on the head of Jesus. And the people who were there, the disciples, different people, they were all having this reaction that you feel when you see something wasted, right? And what did they say? They said, why this waste? Why is this perfume wasted? She should have sold it. She could have gotten more than a year's wages. If someone worked an entire year, he would not have enough money to buy what was in that jar. She should have sold it, and she should have given that money to the poor. And they were scolding the woman, saying, you wasted it. What are you thinking? Why did you do it? You wasted it. What did Jesus say? Jesus asked them a question. He said, why are you bothering this woman? Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. He said, the poor, you will always have the poor with you. And whenever you want to, you can help them. But you will not always have me. He said, this woman, she did what she could. And she brought this body, she brought this perfume, and she poured it on my head to prepare me for burial. Then he said something very interesting. He said, listen, in the future, wherever the gospel is preached, I want this story to be told about this woman to remember what she did. After this, let me tell you the next couple verses. After this, Judas Iscariot, the one who was the treasurer of their group and he loved money, he went to the scribes and the chief priests to ask them how he could help them catch Jesus and arrest him. And they were glad to hear that he was on their side, and they agreed to give him money so he could help to betray Jesus to them. That's the end of the story that I'll tell you today. Let me just ask you a few questions. Is there anything in this story that bothers you? Is there anything that bothers you about this story? Is there anything you like in this story? What do you like about it? What does this story tell us about people? And what does this story tell us about Jesus? Let me repeat those questions, and if you're sitting with someone, choose one to answer. What do you like about this story? What bothers you in this story? What does this story teach us about people? What does it teach us about Jesus? If you think of an answer off the top of your head, just take a minute and talk with the person next to you about this story that you've heard for the first time, and then I'll tell it to you again. Thank you, Larry. She had more love for Jesus than she did for her possessions. I'll give you a few more moments to talk to the person next to you. Don't necessarily shout it out, but keep in your mind, because I'll ask you some more questions in a bit. Think about these questions. Okay, I'm going to tell it to you again. Ready? It was 2 days before the Passover. Jesus was in Bethany at the house of a man named Simon the leper. But in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the scribes were getting together, trying to figure out how they could kill and eliminate Jesus. But they said, "Let's not do it during this Passover feast, because the people might riot." Well, Jesus was at the house of Simon the leper, and they were eating, and a woman came in carrying an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar open. She poured it on Jesus' head. The people who were watching that said, "Why this waste? What a waste. She should have sold that for more than, she could have sold it for more than 300 denarii, more than a year's wages, and given the money to the poor." They were scolding her and rebuking her, telling her she had just wasted something very, very precious. Jesus said, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing for me." He said, "The poor you always have with you, and whenever you want to, you can help them. But me, you will not always have. This woman did what she could. And in pouring this on my head, she did this to prepare me for burial." Then he said, "Listen, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel will be preached in the whole world, what this woman did will also be told to remember her. One question comes to my mind, a big question about this story. Why did Jesus say that about this story? Why did he say, this story needs to be told along with the gospel? Was it because of the financial value? I mean, yeah, people gave Jesus lots of things, but this one kind of tops the charts. It's definitely deserving of the Hall of Fame. Is that what he was thinking? You know, the other lesser things are not worth mentioning whenever the gospel's told, but this is really important. Is that why? Was it the financial value? Was it the timing of what she did? You notice Jesus said, the poor you will always have, but me you won't always have. She did this right now to prepare me for burial. So there's some aspect there of the timing, maybe we don't understand. Was it the beauty of what she did that makes this so important? Jesus said, she's done a beautiful thing for me. Again, lots of people did many beautiful things for Jesus. Cooked meals, hosted him. There's lots of stories in the Gospels of things other women did for Jesus. He says this, she did a beautiful thing for me. Was it the timing? Was it the beauty? Was it the value? Was it the recipient that made this story so important? Now, Jesus doesn't explicitly say, of course she should do it for me. I'm more valuable than the 1,000 poor people that could have eaten from this money that just got dumped on my head. No. But who is Jesus? Who is the one who received this? They said it was wasted. And Jesus said, no. This woman understood something that the other disciples looking on did not understand, right? Let's look carefully now at the things that were said and what was behind them. Those words that you have in the sermon title, why this waste? In order to answer that question, if it is a real question, what do you have to assume is true to answer that question? What do you think? What do you have to assume is true? It's called a presupposition. To answer this question, I need to assume what is true. That it was wasted. That this was wasted. And so we're asking why, right? Philosophers and linguists and people who study questions and language, they love to dig into questions like this that carry with them presuppositions. So children, let's see. We don't have many small children this morning, do we? Dallas, who's your oldest boy? What's his name? Brent? Brett. Brett, what if I asked you a question and I said, did you apologize to your brother for kicking him? Now, how would you answer that? Did you apologize to your brother for kicking him? Well, he said yes, okay. Does that mean you did kick him? Probably, in the history of life, yeah. But to answer that question, we have to assume several things are true. One, that you kicked him, and that you should probably apologize. Maybe you haven't yet. What about another question? Why don't you ask this to the person next to you? When did you stop smoking? Well, if your life has certain circumstances, that's easy to answer, right? If you did smoke at one time and then you stopped, Then the question, when did you stop smoking, is easy to answer, right? What if you started but you haven't stopped? It's more difficult, right? What if you never started? With these questions, you can't answer them. You have to cancel them if it's not true, right? You have to cancel the question. And so this morning, I asked my son, I was just playing with some of these questions, and I asked Gabriel, when did you steal the money? You should have seen the look on his face. What's he going to say? Finally, he just said, what do you mean? I didn't steal it. What money? You know, are we talking about $5 here or $100 or what? Again, that's one of the questions. It was loaded with presuppositions, and you can't answer it if it's not true, right? If those presuppositions, if we don't agree on them, we can't even go further with the question. And that's what happened here. The people said, why this waste? Did Jesus tell them why? He would have been going along with the presupposition, right? Why did she waste it? Well, no, Jesus couldn't answer it that way. He had to cancel the question. And that's what he did. How did he do it? He asked them a question. And that question also had a presupposition in it. What did he say? Why are you bothering this woman? What's the presupposition? They're bothering her. Well, they are. They're scolding her. She obviously did something that was not appropriate, right? She obviously deserved it. And Jesus said, no, why are you bothering her? He asked them a question. Again, it was not so much a question, but it was a statement. We do this a lot in Africa with questions like this. They're usually not questions for information. They're making a statement. They were saying, why this waste? Meaning, what a waste. Jesus said, why are you bothering her? You are bothering her, and you shouldn't be. What did he say next? This woman did a beautiful thing for me. She did a beautiful thing for me, or to me, depending on the translation. What was beautiful about it? She took this thing that was extremely valuable and sacrificed it all. She gave it. She gave it to Jesus, but he didn't benefit. I mean, it's not like he was going to go and sell it. She poured it out. She did it to him. It was more of an act than a gift. Obviously, she sacrificed all of it, and there it went. It was a very beautiful thing. Then he said something about the poor, because these people had been saying this should have been given to feed the poor, right? The poor are needy. They don't have enough food. If you sell this, 1,000 people could have a meal or more from this. He said, the poor you always have. You can help them whenever you want. But me, you do not always have. You won't always have me. At first, I find this kind of odd. Why didn't Jesus side with those who wanted to help the poor? Why didn't he say, yeah, that's right. I came to give my life for the poor. I want my disciples to give their lives for the poor. He had just told a story. If you look at this same account in Matthew 26, he had just told the story of the final judgment, sheep and the goats, as he portrays them, sheep on one side, the goats on the other, but they're actually people, those who have given their resources to help the least of his brothers and sisters. As he says, the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. So based on that story, it is important to help, to give water, to give food, to give clothes, to visit people, take care of the prisoners. Why didn't he say, yeah, this money could have been used, this resource could have been used in a better way? He said, no, she did a beautiful thing to me. You won't always have me here. She did this to prepare my body for burial. Right before he said that, there's a statement, she did what she could. My dad tells me that was one of my grandma's favorite verses in the Bible. She did what she could. If you look at a literal translation of the Greek, it's literally what she had, she did. What she had, she contributed. Obviously, Jesus doesn't expect us to give what we don't have, right? She did what she could. That reminds me, as we start to think about what this might mean for us, we all have different things, right? We all have different gifts. We're made differently. I was really struck with that that fact recently when I was talking with someone here in Virginia. And, you know, everybody sees me as kind of a booky kind of guy, academic. You know, I've got a master's degree and study languages and work with translation and all of that. And, but yet the journey I've been on for the last couple years has showed me glaring weaknesses in my life, things that I'm not at all good at, that I really respect when I see them in other people. This man, he's running several farms. He's got lots of employees. I don't know how he keeps everything straight in his head. I mean, for me, I'm good with just one small project that I like to hone to perfection. And this guy is working with farms. And as I was talking with him, I mentioned something about my computer, looking for a place to sit down and get some work done. I think he felt inferior. He said, I never was much for book learning. He said, farming is all I know how to do. And that struck me because for me, looking at him, there's so much that I respected. For him, looking at me, he felt there's so much perhaps that he felt he didn't have. What did Jesus say here? She did what she could. She did what she could. That's what was so beautiful. This woman brought something very precious that she had, and she did it. She gave it to Jesus. He said she anointed my body for burial ahead of time. And what she's done will always be told to remember her. Before I tell the story one last time, let's think a bit about application. When you have a story like this, Jesus didn't say exactly how it might apply to us, right? He said this is a really important story and it needs to be told. Well, what do you take away from a story like this? I can think of several things we could take away from this story that somebody could walk out and say, you know, it's not so important to worry about stewardship or frugality. We can just waste resources. It's all right. It's not a big deal. We don't have to be really good stewards of what God's given us. Just throw it away. Somebody else could take this story and say, you know, Jesus must not think it's very important to help the poor. We can just put it off. It's not all that important. Because he said, you'll always have them with you. They'll always be around. Whenever you want to, you can help them. Someone else might look at this story and think, wow, I want to smell nice like Jesus. perfume. Let's go after the best perfumes. Seriously, what do you think we can learn from this story? Again, as we bring ourselves to application, before we take any of those ideas and run with it, let's say, does this agree with the rest of Scripture? You know, what does the rest of Scripture tell us about the poor? What does the rest of Scripture tell us about luxurious things that we buy for ourselves? What does the rest of Scripture tell us about the resources we've been given? The one thing I love in this story that encourages me is a principle that we see in Jesus' words. He didn't say it explicitly, but it comes out in the story. He said, what this woman did was not wasted. He canceled that presupposition right off the bat, right? She did something very beautiful. To me, I believe, and this agrees with the rest of Scripture, that whatever we bring to Jesus that we have, whatever we bring to him and whatever we do for him is not wasted. Now, people might challenge that and say, well, no, we've got to do the math, figure out return on investment, ROI. Don't pour your money down the wrong hole. Of course, those are important things to consider. But it comes down to the bottom line. What are you going to do with what you have? Are you going to bring it to Jesus? Or are you going to bring it somewhere else? If you bring it to Jesus, it's not wasted. It reminds me of the words of one man who was getting ready to go to the mission field. You know, that's one situation where we can all say, all right, he's giving his life to Jesus, right? He's doing something for God all the way. He said, what if I go to another country? And the first week I'm there, I'm riding my bike to study language, and a bus hits me and kills me. Would it be wasted? Would it be worth it? Would it be wasted? He said no, because the gospel is worth it. Jesus is worth it. What if God calls you to a place to serve in a way where you don't see rewards? People don't appreciate it. You can't see any spiritual fruit coming from it. You see people taking advantage of your service and not appreciating it. But who are you doing it for? Jesus said, she did a beautiful thing for me. Reminds me of several things that Paul wrote that kind of summarize how we're called to live our lives. 1 Corinthians 10, he said, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3, it's even more specific. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Think with me about your lives. Most of you have jobs. At least someone in your family has a job. And you might say, that's not really spiritual. I have this job so I can give money to the church. But you have that job. This jar of perfume wasn't spiritual. It was just really valuable. What did she do with it? She brought it to Jesus. What you have might not be spiritual. It's not preaching sermons. It's not teaching necessarily. But each of you has gifts and resources. Jesus wants you to bring those and pour them out for him. What does that look like? What does that look like for you? The same question for you as for me. You might say, well, Jonathan, he works overseas. Of course that's spiritual. Of course that's for Jesus. Well, not necessarily. So much of my life, looking back, I see so much of it was wasted because I wasn't giving something to Jesus. I was doing it for something else, some other reason. Jesus wants us to bring everything to him, to pour it out for him. So if you have a job, what does it look like to pour that out for Jesus, to bring it to him? If you do it for him, it won't be wasted. That's the main application I get from this story. And again, that's the picture that this story paints for me. And it's a lot deeper than that. Perhaps you see other things in this story. Jesus wanted us to tell this story and to talk about it. Maybe you can keep doing that today. I'm going to tell it one more time, and then we'll be done. All right? Right before this story in Matthew, we see the story he was telling, and I'll tell you the end of that story. He said, at the end times, there will be a judgment. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left, as it were. And I'll say to those on my right, come, you blessed of the Father. Come, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I needed clothes and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you came to visit me. I was in prison and you came to be with me. And those people said, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you needing clothes and give you clothes? When did we see you needing a visit and visited you? And he said, I will say to them, whatever you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And likewise, the flip side of that story is those on the left that are going to destruction did not do anything for Jesus, for other people, but ultimately for Jesus. He said, whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Then in Matthew 26, it says, after he said this, he went to Bethany and he went to Jerusalem. And this story takes place. He was sitting at the house of Simon the leper. A woman comes in. She brought an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She took it, she broke it open, and poured it on the head of Jesus. Those who were sitting there said, what a waste. Why this waste? She should have sold that. She could have sold it for more than 300 denarii, a year's wages, and given the money to the poor. And they reprimanded her. They scolded her. They said, what are you thinking? You've wasted it. Jesus said, no. Why are you bothering her? This woman did a beautiful thing for me. The poor, you always have with you. Whenever you want to, you can help them. But me, you do not always have. He said, this woman did what she could. What she had, she did. She anointed my body beforehand for burial. And I'll tell you the truth, wherever this story is told in all the world, what this woman did will also be told to remember her. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this story. There's so much for us to consider and learn. I thank you for the gracious words that came out of your mouth in this story, and words that apply to anyone who brings their resources, gives them to you to follow you. Lord, each of our lives is different, but yet there's one thing that's the same, and that is that whatever we bring to you is not wasted. Thank you, Lord. Would you shine your light into our hearts? Keep teaching us your way. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.